All right, so we're back on the train.
Choo-choo.
How did you feel?
Choo-choo part two.
Yeah. Honestly, how are you feeling about part two?
How am I feeling? I'm jazzed up, and I have even more questions than I did the first time.
And you got a lot of questions at the end of that. You're like,
Okay, well, I would like to say that I think my questions from the first part were answered, but that only led to more questions. So, actually, not all my questions really were answered. Just the major one that I had, which was like, what about all those other people on the train?
And you know what? We got an answer to that, and that's great.
We did, except like, you know what? I can't just launch into this. We should talk about the actual,
like the actual plot.
The actual plot first, because I enjoyed it so much. So
I'll definitely say that I was surprised that there was a book too, because I don't know. I thought this was going to be like another Over the Garden Wall situation where it's just like a one-off.
Me too.
But you know, we got a full thing.
I was so happy to learn that there was another part to this, because I was like, there's just so much you can do here, and now there's going to be a third one, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a book three that's supposed to be coming like 2 weeks? Something like that. Like,
yeah.
August 13th, I want to say.
Yeah. And it seems like what they're doing is characters that were kind of introduced in the last book that we saw for like one episode or two episodes, now their story gets built on in the next one. And I just think that that's a really cool way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Because I was wondering how... Well, when I found out there was going to be a book three, I was just like, wait, whose story are we going to do now? Because at least with two, I understood, like, where we were going logically. It's like, oh, we're going to talk about Mira Tulip.
Yeah.
Who, what did she call herself? MT?
MT, and then my favorite, Lake.
My name is now Stares Out Lake.
She literally was like, trees. Looks around. My name is Chair.
She George. I love that she George Glassed her own name.
She literally did. George Tropicana. Sounds Cuban. Yeah, that was. I mean, I understood, like, it was her reflection. Like, I understood that. But it was just funny.
I mean, if no one understood where that joke was from, it's from the Brady Bunch movie.
If you don't understand our references, get out of here. That we provide no context for ever.
It's true. Maybe we should have, like, an encyclopedia episode.
Oh my god, that'd be so funny. We just talked about our favorite
references.
Our favorite references.
I love that. Memeology.
Memeology. Quotes that live in my mind rent-free.
Oh, there's so many. So many. But okay, so let's get back on the train. So with this Alright, so here we're on the train. We're traveling along. Choo-choo. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the fact that we went back and delved into Mira Tulip's story.
I loved her.
Yeah, I actually really liked her a lot. I didn't know...
Baby Dyke.
Literally. I like how literally this character is just exactly what we said about the first character.
The first thing she does is shave her head and, like, give herself a sleeveless tank and put holes in her ears. I was like, girl, been there.
And then starts hanging out with a football player. Lesbian things. Oh,
yeah, I was thinking about that quote that you were talking about that one time about how everybody's new favorite trope is like lesbian and himbo. And yeah. I was like, oh, this is literally just that. We love to see it.
It's true. Although in my mind, himbos are dumb, buff gay guys.
That's really funny. I think it's mostly, in the instance of that trope, I do think it's mostly a straight guy, though.
Which is annoying, because I'm like, we all know that all straight guys are stupid, so.
It's true.
I don't know if that's a stereotype. It's really more of like a given fact.
I'm great with you. Jesse was a swimmer, though.
Was he? I thought he was a football player.
There was, like, a whole episode about it.
Oh, then, yeah, that was just gay solidarity, then. There are no straight guys on the swim team.
I mean...
Everyone knows the gay sports in high school are soccer and swimming. The two S's. SS, just like the Navy.
Right, right.
Subliminal messaging. The gay agenda.
Let's get into it. Yeah, no, there was that where they went to the map and they were like putting the pieces in the map together and then he just like swam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess I must have completely forgot that note.
And then he was like, I'm a swimmer. This little jacket was his swimming jacket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There's a whole, anyway. Whole bit I just completely forgot.
It was cute. I liked him a lot, too. I thought they were...
Yeah.
They were a fun little companion duo, and it was fun to see... first of all, I liked that it was two, like, humans. I mean, obviously, like, she wasn't human, but it was two, like, kid... It was, like, a... Two kids, like, that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, in the first one, we had just Tulip and...
One
she had a little creature friends.
Mm-hmm.
which was really funny when we got to the end. I forgot that, like, 1-1 took over the train. And I was like, 1-1?
Oh, yeah. I also forgot about that. And then it was like, I'm the conductor now. I'm like, oh, right.
Did that actually happen in the last one? Or were we just to assume that happened in the... meantime?
Well, he was the actual conductor. The thing is he got overthrown and then forgot that he was the conductor.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking about it. I was like, I should have rewatched the first one just for context. But I didn't. So anyway, I liked their dynamic, and I also really liked that because the first one was all about getting her number down. I was like, okay, I like that we're not just, like, doing another one of those. Like,
yeah.
It was about Mirror Tulip's, Lake. It was about Lake's storyline. It was just that she happened to find Jesse, and then we followed his number going down, but it wasn't really about his story.
Yeah. It was really more about, it was about Tulip and her getting off the train and yeah. having the agency to live her life of her own accord.
Which was funny, because I was like, one of my things with, like, the whole storyline was, I was like, I get it, but, like, do you think you're special? Like, do you not think that every other reflection also deserves this? Or, like, I don't know. It was just funny to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like a weird, it was a weird point for the show to make. I can't yeah. agree with that. Like, it was very left of center. And
yeah, just to, like, put it in context of, like for her individual storyline, it's great. It's a great storyline. But then to, like, put it in the context of, like, aren't there, like, doesn't everybody have a reflection? Are you saying every single reflection should be their own thing? Like, we should. Like, I don't know. It's just like...
Which is fine. I guess that's what... I mean, maybe that's what she was trying to say. But again, weird point.
I was just like, girl, you're a little selfish. Like, which is great.
Which is great. We love character development like that.
Yeah. We do. And hers was good. And it was very good from where we saw her in the first season to now.
Which was... I don't even really remember her character in the first season.
I think she was just kind of, like, evil. You know, she was, like an antagonist. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, they made her seem like an antagonist, but I guess it was really just she wanted to live her own life, and I'm like, fair.
Yeah, which is great. So I'm curious to see what they do with the next season, because we're gonna follow
the Apex kids.
The Apex. We're gonna follow them, and I hated them. So I was like, well, I'm interested to see what their growth is.
Right? Because I didn't like them either. It's like...
I hated them so much.
Well, I think the reason why I didn't like them is because they seemed like they were trying to force their lifestyle on them. I'm just like, hey, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But, like, don't make me live your lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. They were very, like, they were very cult-like. Like, they were just like... No, we're doing this, so everybody should do this. And I was like, why don't you just do that and let other people do what they want to do?
Which I found very interesting, because I feel like those groups are usually way more, like, closed off. They're like, I mean, we'll see if you can, like, live with us. Like, they don't offer. They usually are like, well, we'll see.
It seemed like they just wanted recruits. You know, like they were, in a way, like they were building an army and they wanted recruits.
Yeah, which I don't understand. Like, are they weird remnants of, like, the first dude who wanted control of the, well, that wasn't a dude, that was a woman. I forgot that she wanted control of the, what was her thing that she wanted in the first season? I can't remember.
The conductor.
Yeah, she was trying to, like, live in a fantasy world where, like, her husband was still alive or something.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think, I don't know what the... Because with the Apex, I'm like... I think they just wanted, like, another perspective of, like, okay, everybody's trying to get off this train, but here's this group who's not and is actively trying to stay on it and get their numbers up. And so I'm curious, that's why I'm curious to see what they do with them next season, because I'm like, as far as their motivations and stuff, I don't quite understand. Because it's, like, it's kind of similar to, like, how we saw Mira Tulip in the first season, and she was just like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
We're all like, whoa, calm down, but she was great. And I loved following her, so.
Yeah, and I feel like they... I like the way that the creator of this show... I forget who it is, because I didn't even really look it up. But I like the way the creator of this show has kind of, like, done that, where it's the... Because you know, like, how you have first impressions of people? I mean, hello, our friendship is a great example of first impressions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm wondering if that's what the way that they're going about these introductions. So, like, initially you feel this way about this character, and that's, like, kind of intentional, and then they do all the work of showing you this character, like, their actual story.
Right.
Which I think works.
Yeah.
But...
Definitely. It's a really good way, I think, of storytelling, and it's a good, really good way of world expanding.
Yeah. Especially for a world like this, where it's... We follow these characters in this world, but the main proponent is the train.
Yeah.
Like, the train is kind of... I guess it's kind of like Sex in the City, where, you know... New York is... New York is the fifth friend.
I was gonna say, the train is the main character.
Yeah. Kind of. I mean, there's so much about this train that we don't know about.
Remember the episode of Sex and the City where Carrie was like, she was single, and then she was like, I'm dating New York. It was so funny.
Maybe I didn't get to that episode. I
remember that one a lot for some reason.
I told she you, just, like... last time I was rewatching it, I stopped watching it when she cheated on, when she cheated on Aiden with Big, and I was just like, I'm just so annoyed with you right now. I can't. Like, I was so mad I had to stop watching. Like,
that's funny.
I mean, who did? It was just such an annoying thing for her to be all like, I don't care about you anymore, Big, and then literally sleep with him while she has a boyfriend who is at her house remodeling her apartment.
I think my mom and I were just talking about this, how when she's dating Aiden is, like, the worst era, because she's so, like, crazy for some reason. They just, like, made her, like, absolutely passionate insane all the time. I'm like, why?
Who knows? There's really no valid reason, I feel.
It's, like, while she's dating Aiden. We should rewatch that show and do it.
Oh, I would be open to it. I mean, I haven't... Let's see, where was... Because I think it was in the middle of season 3 where that happens. Which is where I stopped.
I haven't watched through it in a very long time. I don't know if it's, like, the most bingeable show.
That is a good point.
That's the thing about it. Like, it really, like, I think you have to watch it in chunks.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I was doing it up until... The event.
The event. That's like when I was watching Weeds, and she oh, went when with, she... what's his name?
Yeah, when she gets with the Mexican drug dealer dude.
Isn't he like a senator or something?
Yeah, but he's also, like, a drug dealer.
Well, yeah. But he's also like a very important political figure. Yeah, she like goes off with him, and then I literally stopped watching over like 2 years because I was so upset.
And
then they just killed him off between seasons, and I was like, this is the best day of my life. That was fucking amazing. Like, he was literally chasing after them for a whole season, and then next season, they're just like, yeah, he died. So anyway.
So we're done, like, with that now.
I was like, oh, was I in the writer's room?
Did I ghostwrite this?
Anyway... Not talking about Weeds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the train is a character. The train... I have still so many questions. Where is the train? How do you get there?
Yeah, that's the main question I have about where is the train. It seems to just be in a, like, stagnant location of just being on a loop. I think it's literally just on an infinity track. Circles. Like,
really? I got the impression that, like, it was just, it just keeps going. Like, there is no loop. It's literally just like one infinite straight line.
Which it could be, which I feel is, like, probably a metaphor for life.
But but you can get to the front of the train, right? Because that's where the conductor is.
Yeah.
You can get the front, because we did in the first season. Although, did we? See, anyway.
No, we did get to the control room. Because that's where 1-1 remembered their place and then, like, went back into the console or whatever.
But... Yeah, that was the control room, but was it the front of the train? Was it the first car?
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, yeah, I do wonder where the fuck this train is, because, like, every time they get off, there are those fucking things, those cricket weird things.
Yeah. I forgot about them, too, and then they came back this season, and I was like, oh, no.
I don't like that.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm going with my original theory that it exists in, like, some sort of hyperspace, some sort of alternate dimension that we just have to accept exists. And the other thing is, like, that you do actually physically go there.
Yeah.
Because in both instances, when the human kids that we followed got home, their family members were like, oh, like, where have you been? Or like, oh, you were gone or whatever. So you do physically go there for some time. That was my other question. I was
some indescript time.
Right. I don't know. I imagine time moves slower on the train.
Yeah, because they do seem to be gone for a while, but they don't seem to be, like, concerned. Like, oh my god, you were gone for, like, years.
Right, exactly, like, yeah.
But you were definitely gone for a while, like, you were gone for, like, half an afternoon. Where have you been?
Right, exactly.
So that's really the question, is, like, how long do there are just so many questions about this train.
Which is, like, you know, I also accept that, like, it's okay if we don't know. It's just that, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, but.
Which I completely understand. So don't worry, I'm with you there on that one. Yeah. So I do like that we got to see other parts of the train, because there were a lot of questions I had, like the whole tapes thing. I was like, how the fuck do they get these weird tapes? And then seeing the tape room of where that comes from. Okay, so much of this show is, like, so weird and creepy. And I'm
nightmares.
Like...
I'm like, are young children watching this? Because that would, legit, that would give me nightmares.
Well, I mean, it makes me think about how I used to watch Are You Afraid of the Dark as a kid, and I'm like, I'm fine. I'm a well-adjusted adult.
I'm fine. Yeah, that whole, like... Okay, their bodies were in, like, what? Like, some sort of, I don't know, juice. And then, like, planted in the ground.
Yeah, it's like Matrix goo, almost.
Yeah, and then, like, some sort of solid goo. And then the tapes were being siphoned from their brains.
I know, that's the funniest part. It's just like... They're, like, in a farm, like, a literal farm.
Yes.
And then they get, like, ejected into, like, the goo and go down a lake.
And then the other thing, so, oh my god, I have so many questions. We didn't talk about the actual plot at all. I just have some fucking questions. So, okay, so, here's my thing. So, is your body there the whole time? And you just think you're going through all these other things?
I feel like it's almost... It's...
Right?
Maybe you're just in, like, a stasis of sleep and you're just, like, remembering. So it's like... You know, like, when you have, like, those dreams where you remember random shit and you're like, oh... So I feel like it's like that.
But...
Like, yes. Almost like Matrix-like, where you're just, like, plugged into the simulation and you're, like, dreaming and you're, like... getting your memory siphoned, and then you wake up in a pod, and then you're just like, where am I?
Yeah, but, like, so is that on the train, is that where the physical body is, and then the rest of it, you're just thinking that it's, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I can't even, like.
Yeah, I'm not really getting what you're saying. Wait, so what are you, so...
Are they there the whole time? Are the people there the whole time in the crazy brain goo? Or, like, and they're just thinking they're going from car to car? Or is that where they end up at some point?
Oh, no, that's just where they are when they're onboarded. So, like, when they first get on the train, they go there, they get their memory siphoned, then they... Because you remember they go to the other room where they give them their number?
Right. And then they go, okay...
And then they give him a number, they put him in the pod, and then they shoot him off to whatever car. Like, which seems arbitrary. Like, I don't understand the whole car thing. Like, I don't understand how the interaction between cars thing works.
But then they found Jesse in the brain goo. Didn't they?
Well, yeah, because he was trying to get back on the train.
Right. Oh, okay. I guess that's what confused me.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, how is he there?
Okay, yeah. So that's where you got confused. So he got back on because he was trying to go back for MT.
No, I know that. I was just confused about the place. Oh, okay, and then the other thing other thing was that when MT hijacks that pod, which I want to know what happens to that guy.
Yeah, right?
I was like, what happened to that guy?
Well, he's dead now.
He got no number. He's just out there somewhere. So she hijacks his pod, and then they go to the crazy place, and he says, the video of 1-1, when they get there, says, fun fact, this car is the only car to not, like, where the reality exists outside, or something. Like, he says something that I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. I feel like I have to go back and watch it because...
Yeah, go back. I literally replayed the moment because I was like, what? I wish I wrote the quote down.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let me see if it's like on IMDb or something. Because it was like, he said something to allude to the fact that, at least in my mind, that this is the only car that actually looks like what it looks like on the inside, and all the other cars were some sort of like augmented reality. Like that, like he said something that alluded to that. The tape car, that's what it was called.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know because that is a very good question, because I am very confused as to, like, why the inside of each car is as different as it is and how they get deconstructed and reconstructed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how that works. Especially since we have, maybe in book three we may get, like, that episode where they talk about, like, how the cars are built. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like with each book we get to learn a little bit more about the train, which is why I like how the story is progressing. Honestly, I'm hoping that we get at least like a couple more seasons so I can figure out more about this train.
Yeah.
Because there's so much about it that is like bugging me. But
well, because when they meet the Apex group or whatever, they do say, oh, a new car popped up a couple ways down, and so I was like, well, how do they know it's a new car, and how does that car end up there? Like, how is it a new car? How is it, what? And
yeah,
how does it just pop up in the middle of all the other cars?
Well, I know in the first season they like showed like how the cars will arrange themselves, so like one car will like go out and then like a new one will drop in that one's place and then the old one will go someplace else.
Yeah.
So, like, they talk about the arrangement of, like, the order of the cars changing.
Yeah.
And, like, how that happens. But, I mean, it does make me wonder how they have stayed so long in that car without it being all like, I'm just gonna move that car someplace else or something like that.
Yeah.
But
the X car, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But again, those are things that'll probably come up in that actual, like, in the third book. Like, they'll probably talk about that. I know. Otherwise, we'll just be talking about how we want to know about that. But I feel like we've been talking about so much of stuff that's probably going to happen in this new season and not anything about this one.
Well, no, these are just the new questions that I have. These are just the questions that I have. And then I'm going to continue talking about this. And then when Mara Tulip and the crazy cop guy are, trapped together outside the the train, right? And he's, like, he's basically just, like, trying to mess with her mind, I think. But he also says, like, oh, don't you think that car was created? Like, why do you think the chrome car was there? Don't you think it was just created so that she could move along, meaning Tulip? And I was like, okay, wait. Are cars created specifically for the people on the journeys? Like...
Yeah.
And also, how does the train find people? I don't know.
That is a good question. That is a very good question.
How do you get selected to, I guess, if you're just having a general problem in your life?
If you're just having a generally shitty life, you make it on the train. But that does beg to wonder, because him saying that does seem like he's just trying to, like, mess with her head. But at the same time, it does bring up the question, like, what, like, it's like a chicken or the egg type thing. Like, what came first, the car or the passenger?
Person. Yeah.
Yeah. And true. I don't know if we'd ever get an actual answer for that. But for me, I feel like the cars are there regardless. Mm-hmm. It's just like they're ordered sometimes in a specific way to help the passenger along.
Maybe.
But it also
seem like the train wants to help the passenger.
I know, that's the weird thing, is I'm like, there are bits and pieces where you're just like, I think it's really more of like a you get out of it whatever you put into it type of situation, not a I'm gonna help you get off this train.
Pretty much.
But maybe that's what 1-1 specifically is trying to do, is trying to help people get off the train.
That's true. He does seem more like, yeah, helpful. Can we talk about that one car that was basically just RuPaul's Drag Race?
Oh, yeah. And you walk down the runway. I was like,
It was literally called, like, Sashay's Runway something. And I was like, scream.
Yeah, that was literally Drag Race.
At that point, I was like, okay, what gays are writing this?
Oh, please.
It was so funny.
If it were gay, it would have probably been more intricate than that. I feel like this was more of like a, I'm a fan of this show. But I started watching around season 7.
Really? I feel like this was a full homage. And it was extra funny for me because I have been rewatching Drag Race recently. From the beginning.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, it's been a ride. It's been fun.
I've never seen the first season, but I do, like, rewatching old ones.
I skipped the first season. I've never seen it either, because I really wanted to rewatch the second season. That was, like, my main reason for going back and rewatching. Because that was the first season I ever watched when it was, like, on television.
Same.
And then I was like, well, why don't I just rewatch all of it? Because there's so much that I, like, I know certain queens, but I've never, like, seen their full, like,
thing.
Season, yeah. So I was like, oh, this would be interesting to, like, because I'm familiar with so many of them, but I've never actually, like, seen the full thing. And I think I'm mostly familiar with people from All Stars, but I'm like, oh, I've never actually seen that full season that they're in.
Well.
So, yeah. It's been a ride. It is very funny to watch season 3 and then season 4 back to back, because season 4 is, I think, when they moved to VH1, and all of a sudden they have a budget.
Wait, you mean of All Stars?
No, of regular.
Oh, no. They didn't move to VH1 until, like, season 10? Like, something like that.
Really? Because I was watching it. I mean,
no, actually, it was All Stars 2 was the first season that was on VH1.
Because all of a sudden it had VH1 logo on it.
Well, VH1, like, has all of it now, retroactively. But
well, yeah.
Before
just
that,
the other seasons, well, I think what it was, too, is that seasons 1 through 3 are in, are not in widescreen, are not in high def.
Mm.
They're just in, like, whatever you call it.
Standard? Like, just SD format?
Yeah, standard. Yeah. And it was just very funny going from, like, season 3, and then all of a sudden season 4 is like, oh, we got a budget.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed that when I rewatch a lot of my shows, when the aspect ratio changes. Like, yep. Oh, there we go.
Yep. Yeah, it happens with a lot of shows in the 2000s when shows have spanned a few, like a bunch of seasons in the 2000s, it always happens and it's very funny.
Yeah. But yeah, that's funny because like I rewatched season 4 with a friend of ours because he had never seen it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how have you never seen this? Because I don't think he'd ever seen, like, All-Stars 2 either. So we had to, like, first I was like, we have to watch All-Stars 2 first, and then we watched season 4. So that he got the back-to-back Fifi O'Hara experience.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, yeah, see, she's literally always been like that.
It is funny to, like, know some of the queens later, like, from All-Stars and stuff, and you're like, why does everybody hate this person? Like, why? Or, like, why are they acting like that? And then you go back and watch their season, and you're just like, ah.
Yeah. I mean, Roxy is really the only one who is like, I was a villain on my season, but I'm literally not that person.
Which one is that?
Roxy Andrews.
Oh, yes.
And I'm here to make it clear.
I also love playing the game, oh, that's a gif now.
Yeah. Oh, when I was watching
Although
Glee,
a lot of those are from Untucked, which I'm not watching Untucked.
Oh, we had to watch Untucked at the same... Like, especially for the older seasons, that's, like, half the show.
I know, but, like, it's so annoying to, like... I wish you could get Hulu to play, like, the episode and then the episode of Untucked and then the regular episode. And because I'm like, I'm not clicking out of this to go watch, but it's watching Untucked isn't fun if go and watch it on its own. Like, you have to watch it after the episode.
Yeah. In my mind. It is annoying to switch back and forth. So if there was a way to like cue it.
Yeah. I'm like, they should just let you like line it up and then that would be amazing. Then you could just, or they should just incorporate Untucked into the thing. You could skip the episode if you didn't want to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm going to email them right now.
Boy, do I have something. Boy, do I have an idea for you.
I was just watching RuPaul's Drag Race, which, by the way, you don't have every season of, so please fucking put all the seasons on.
Yeah. I mean, I have Prime also, so luckily that fills in the random ones when they don't have. Because they have all of them on Prime.
Oh, on Prime?
Yeah.
Oh, lit. Okay, I'll watch it there after I'm done on Hulu. Great.
You're like, cool, let me just switch apps. Speaking of the cars, another car that I really did like was the Family Tree one. That one was kind of hilarious.
It was hysterical. The concept also was very cool of the growing into the tree if you're fighting. And then the part I thought was cool was like when they got, and they didn't really even acknowledge it, which I was like, okay, we're just kind of gonna put it in the background, was when you got down to the bottom, to the trunk,
mm-hmm.
It was like a big heart and then it was the two, and I was like, oh, I guess that was the two ancestors that married, and then the rest of the families have to deal with each other now for eternity.
And it's, which I was wondering, the only thing I was wondering the entire time is I'm just like, so are these real people or not? Like, what, is this like just a story? Are they sentient? It really begs the question. It's just like, so who are the people in the tree? Are they made up?
Well,
do they exist in their own worlds?
I think we just have to chalk this one up to Infinity Train logic.
Just Infinity Train.
You have to just kind of take it the way that it is. I don't know. It would be funny. When I first watched it, I think I was thinking, oh, these were real people that were carved into the tree. But then I was like, oh, it would be funny if they were people who just lived in the tree, like, and they just decided to get married from the tree. Like, that's how they know each other.
Like, they just are part of the tree, and then they also got married to someone who is also another part of the tree.
Yeah, like, in this world, people just are in trees.
I mean, I'd buy that.
I would buy it because that's pretty much the logic we're working with here.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
I also liked that they gave a shout out to Duck Car. There was a very short cameo from the Duck Car.
I like that they brought back Cat.
Yes, the cat. Oh, I love the cat so much. I want her to be in like a lot of it. I want season 4 to be about the cat.
Just the cat.
Please. Well, I want to know her origin story.
Well, I have again, this does beg a lot of the question. Again, I always come back. We just keep coming back to these questions about the damn train. That has me thinking about, like, what's going on with, like, the Nulls, as the Apex kids called them.
Like, oh, right.
What are they exactly?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because, I mean, in my mind, it's, like, things that the train has created, right?
Yeah.
Rather than people that have come onto the train.
Right.
So, the train is sentient? I don't know.
There's just so many questions that we'll just have to leave left unanswered. The rest is still unwritten.
I also just love the fact that the Apex is like, oh, they're not anything. They don't have feelings. I'm like, they clearly have feelings. I'm like, that one's a deer. It's a fucking animal, like, that you recognize from your world. Why are you being mean to it?
Yeah. Which, again, it does very little to make you like them, and I think that was on purpose. But,
no, it definitely. And then they were just, like, kicking those boxes. I was like, what? There's no point even to what you're doing. You're just doing it. There's nothing inside of them. Stop it.
Yeah, how did you like the deer?
Ugh, love the deer. I would like the deer to come back also.
I like the fact that they, this time, because last time we had, like, a talking corgi, they gave us literally a non-talking deer.
It just had superpowers.
A deer with superpowers that did not communicate at all.
I loved it. I thought it was great. Because, yeah, they, like, again, they really changed up the, like, dynamics of the main group from the first time.
Yes, which I thought was really good, because that can always be, like, I feel like the hardest thing is to change up the dynamic enough that it's fresh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the deer is what brought them together, so I think the deer knows. I think the deer knows more than we think it does.
Yeah, like, is it like a 1-1 situation? That's a real question. It's like, the deer is secretly something else.
I'm very excited to continue in this world because, like I said, there's so many fucking questions.
Yeah, and I mean, the next character is named after you. How did you feel about that?
That is true. I felt great because, she's a strong black woman, and I really appreciated that. I didn't like her, but I appreciate her as a character. And like I said, I'm sure that, like, I'm 100% sure I will like her next season.
Yeah.
Because I think what this show was very good at is character development. So I have no doubt that she will become something awesome.
Yeah.
Or she will turn into a full-blown villain, and in which case I will feel represented. So, great.
To which we like it either way.
Either way. Yeah, I did think it was funny that she was named Grace. I was like, usually it's an Asian girl. So this is refreshing.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we missed. No.
Scroll through the episode list. I really wanted to talk about the drag race car.
Yeah, and I already talked about the darker tones of this one. I mean, I love the dark tones of this. I just, it's just kind of weird. Like, it's only weird in the sense that I wonder of, like, how the other audience would receive it. Because I'm like, I'm an older individual watching this, which I'm sure I'm not the target, target demo. But I'm wondering how their target demo would respond to this.
That's a good question. I mean, I definitely felt like it was dark, but I didn't think it was too much. I mean, except for the siphoning siphoning tape shit.
Yeah, that was
weird. I didn't think anything was, like, too bad. I mean, she did kill that guy.
Yeah, that is true. I was thinking about that the entire time. I was just like, she, like, straight up murdered him, and I guess we're just gonna breeze past that.
She got over it real quick, too. She's like, I hate you. Die. Great. Moving on.
Well, now I don't have to worry about that anymore.
That was pretty amazing. Oh, she killed both of them. Well, the deer killed the second guy, but, you know.
He was helping.
I just really like this screen cap. Wait, come on.
What is?
It's from the drag race car.
Oh, yeah.
Where she dresses up. I'm gonna, like, put this as my profile picture.
That's funny.
Anyways.
Yeah, well, I think that's it for the episode. I feel Jesse was fine. Loved the deer.
Aw, Jesse was adorable, yeah.
Lake was fine. I know, because...
Wait, I'm sorry. So the drag race person from the drag race car who was, like, Sashay.
Was it Shangela?
That was, what?
Was it Shangela?
No, it was Bibi Zahara Benet.
Oh, wait, I feel like a friend of ours may have told me that. Someone randomly, I think I was watching it and he was like, who is that? And he was like, oh, that was BB. Because he was like, yeah. I have to figure out who that is.
Yeah, I figured it was an actual queen. I just didn't go look it up. Well, that's great. It would have been so funny if it was Shangela. Just because she has such a distinct
voice. Yeah, but also, I feel like that would just be something Shangela would do.
Yeah, it would. What was that? Totally made me think of that animated show that came out that was like drag queen superheroes.
Oh, yeah. I forget what it was called. Drag something.
Did they ever make more of that?
No, it was just the one season.
Damn it. It was so
I think what it was is it was very hard to place mm-hmm. on like Target demo.
Mm-hmm. True. Very true. It was like kind of a kid's show, but not really at all. Because everything was like penises.
Very adult oriented.
And we all know that the adult animation demographic is usually older males who are straight and white.
Yes. Rick and Morty stands.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, so, yeah, we're looking forward to watching book 3.
I'm looking forward to having my questions answered and then having
more questions.
More questions.
Even more than before.
Because I'm sure I will.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the consensus at this point. It's like, all right, cool, we answered that question. I have, like, 10 more. It's like a math class.
Yep.
So what are we gonna do next time? What are we gonna watch? What are we gonna
RuPaul's track.
I mean, I'm always doing that. I'm watching Canada's Drag Race right now.
Oh yeah, my friends were telling me about that. They were like, yeah, it's a good season. We're just not super like attached to any of the queens.
I think it's because they're Canadian.
I mean, probably. No, but the UK one was great.
I actually didn't watch the UK one.
Oh, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
I heard that.
Yeah. I forget who. I don't think I actually ever watched who won, but it was fun.
I want to say it was Cheryl Hole.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Yes.
Just a hilarious drag name. My name is Cheryl Hole.
Oh. You couldn't, like, some of them you literally couldn't understand what they were saying.
So, like, an episode of Skins.
Yeah, like an episode of Misfits.
Well, that too.
Yeah, I don't know. What, what should we do next? So many possibilities. Guess we'll figure out.
I know, I'm like, we always figure something out, but we'll let you guys know, as
it's
always.
It's a surprise!
It's always a surprise. As always, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.